Hello and welcome along to a very, very special edition of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. Like you've never heard it before, this is Frank Hickey calling. It is, of course, the Eurovision Song Contest tipping special. And I am delighted to be joined by Paddy Power's very own Frank Hickey, as well as renowned Eurovision content and tipping expert, Mr. Stephen Cass. Stephen, you're very welcome.
Thanks, and thanks for having me, and thanks for, I kind of bullied you into doing this, so let's not pretend anyone wanted it. This is happening because I got down on my knees and said, please, please, give me an outlet.
Well, if you don't ask, you don't get, and obviously your efforts have been rewarded, but we're delighted to have you, and obviously there will be listeners who would have heard you in previous guises throughout the years. You would have done some stuff with the Racing Post and others. You're a Eurovision boffin. Why is my question?
I'm not quite sure why. I was sitting there with the Racing Post about 13 years ago, I think it was 13 years ago, and just like saw Ukraine had finished the top four, probably four of the last 5 years. And I said, oh, I'd have a bet on that. Terrible reason to back something in the Eurovision, you know, based on previous form. But anyway, they finished fourth that year, coincidentally, and kind of got wrapped into it ever since, more and more each year. Then I started doing the tipping for the Racing Post. Now my whole family is obsessed. My four-year-old could sing every Eurovision song for the last 3 years, not just this year. The seven-year-old is completely head over heels about it. Our whole life revolves around it from February to the middle of May. So, yeah, I don't know. It gets under your skin. Frank will tell you as well. I think I nearly got Frank into it, and it just gets under your skin. And it's a silly, magnificent, important, trivial thing. It's wonderful. And anyone that's into horse racing that scoffs at it would want to have a long, hard look at themselves, because nothing could be more trivial than that. And it's the same kind of a thing. It's an escape, and it's just magic.
Frank, infectious? Are you blaming Stephen Cass for your Eurovision kind of love-in?
I think like any child growing up in the late 80s, early 90s, Eurovision was massive. Like, you know, you get to stay up till 12 o'clock and, you know, you look forward to it every year. I suppose then, as you get a bit older, you lose touch with it completely. You go, oh, that's terrible. But as Stephen said, like, you know, I kind of got back into it a number of years ago, and Stephen's obviously absolutely mad about it. And then when you get into it, you're like, Jesus, this is fierce interesting. You know, it's trying to pit your... It's a bit like horse. You're pitting your opinion against the market and trying to see, like, is your judgment better? Look, Stephen's is obviously far better than mine, but yeah, it's something that... Like, I like to sit down and, like, listen to all the songs without looking at the betting and kind of give them a ranking, like a score out of 10, and just see then, like, does my opinion match up with the way the betting's gone? And sometimes you get big differences. And yeah, one of them is the reason I've had a bet this year so far. But yeah, I think I'm all right at kind of identifying what has a good chance and what doesn't.
Is there a big difference between kind of like assessing a bet on what is ultimately art or one that mightn't be off at Utoxeter? Is there a big difference in those two?
Of course there is, but again, at the same time, it's like trying to determine, like with this, like if you put it this way, like this in horse racing, you've no impact on it whatsoever. Like, but I think there is a bit of it, you know, reading and listening to people's opinions does give you a steer on what the general consensus about a song is, you know, and that will tell you, you know, people are going to like it or people are not going to like it. Why with horse racing, you might have, you know, 20 people mad about a horse, you know, 20 tipsters, but they could all be wrong. But I think with Eurovision, you'll rarely get everyone getting it wrong about a song, you know.
I'd put it this way, Tom. It's probably easier to read the form, and the prices are more frequently wrong. I mean, that's why it's such a good punting medium. Like, and it's the biggest, most beautiful, dirty each way market you'll ever see in your life. Because
we all love that.
Yeah, it's fantastic each way, but because realistically, there's only maybe seven songs could finish in the first four, and you're getting four places. Do you know what I mean? So you're nearly an eight runner field with four places there. So there's always an angle each way. But you see in horse racing, how often do you see an 11 to 4 shot that you think is an even money shot? Whereas Eurovision, you might see three of them throughout this week. Now you have to be quick with some of them, and you'll see they're not ricks, you know. You just have to be quicker, and you have to react to rehearsals. It's a much more dynamic market than a horse racing market. But you can know more than the market, which is very hard in horse racing, as we know.
So I now kind of understand why from a betting perspective, the anticipation for this once in a year kind of event is so high, like, because if you put the work in, you're going to have an edge.
Exactly. Yeah. Definitely. It's easier if you're good at it, but you have to be right as well. Now, there's years I've had awful stinkers back in France and backing Malta in particular, especially when they had a bad draw in the first half. One golden rule is you need to be adaptable and change your mind. And that can be right up to after you see the semi-finals on Thursday night. The worst thing you could do is go in with your favourite song last week and not be willing to be flexible this week when things change. And when you see vocals and when you see the draws for first half, second half of the final and then the running order. You can be made look a fool, but at least make your foolishness pay by changing your mind and doing something different, you know.
Well, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that this podcast will be listened to across Europe. But as three Irishmen, I feel it would be remiss of us not to mention that as we record on Wednesday, the 10th of May at 7:20 p.m., we're still reeling from another year of disappointment for Ireland in the Eurovision. And we basically didn't get through our semi-final. Stephen, I'll let you go first here. What was your take on the song and the run-up? Did you have any confidence and your view on the performance itself?
Performance itself was okay, but it's this year with Wild Youth, last year with Brooke, the year before with Leslie Roy. We keep doing the same thing. We keep sending a song we think Europe wants, instead of sending something that's authentic, something that's sincere. It doesn't matter what you send. Like, look at what Moldova sent this year, or Croatia. As long as it's sincere, as long as it's a proper performance. But we keep sending something we think is what Europe wants. It then sounds dated. So last night sounded like Dermot Kennedy singing a Westlife song from 10 years ago. Sounded, you know, we've all heard that song before. It was anthemic, European, unite stuff. That's bullshit. Like, people will see through that straight away. That's why we didn't advance. That's why we never advance, because we keep making the same mistakes. I'd love to see maybe an Irish language song, or maybe just something different, you know. We can follow what Spain have done, or the UK have done, or France have done, to get themselves kind of off the rack. But we definitely need to change. And I can tell you this now, all the people on 2FM and Joe Duffy today saying it's political and it's Ireland and it's this, it's not. It's we're sending the wrong songs. That's what's happening.
Well, not since 2018 have we even got through to the final night, Frank. And do you remember even when we were really, really kind of sending crap after the recession, people would kind of say, yeah, sure, we couldn't afford to host it anyway, so we want to win the bloody thing. What was your take on last night with Ireland?
The only disappointing part is that this is recorded afterwards, because I was saying that they nearly got the song title correct, but they missed out on one letter, a G. We put in We Are Gone, because like, that was always going to happen. Do you know, and like, to listen to Marty Whelan go on about, oh, it's a disgrace, you know, it's a great, look, it's, as Stephen said, it's absolutely dated, you know, boring stuff that an hour later you forget about it. Like, there's nothing interesting about it. There's nothing authentic about it. It's just rubbish. And do you know something, you know, if they keep, I suppose to say, like, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And that's what we're doing. Like, get something different, get something a bit left field and see if that'll work. Look, it was rubbish. And
we tried the turkey, Frank.
You know, but you know, like, as he said, like, look at Moldova, even Croatia, there's something, you know, there has to be something they can do and get people with a different perspective, maybe in, you know, deciding what direction they're going to go. But
obviously, we should decide.
You could definitely do it.
Definitely not. They gave TG Carr Junior Eurovision. They did a 6-week show, and Ireland finished fifth at Junior this year. You know, you kind of need someone to take a hold of it and run with it and do something different. Like,
the other thing as well is you probably need to be very politically correct, and that is not my strong point.
So if we were fans of a Premier League team, possibly we'd be looking at the top and calling for change. Is that the general take home message?
But basically, if we were football fans, we'd be Hartlepool United relegated to the conference.
Right. Okay. Let's have a quick word on this year's UK song as well, lads, before we get stuck into our bets for the year. Frank May Muller, she wrote a song. What do you think of it?
Yeah, it's very catchy. I'd say the crowd laughs that you love it. In the arena. The only thing you'd worry about, it's like female singer, dancey tune, and you've got Sweden, France, Israel, Norway, all, you know, female dancey tunes as well. And that'll probably, you know, take some votes away from it. I think it's probably going to be top 10, but that's probably as good as it'll go. Like top 15, maybe top 10. But I wouldn't think it'll do any better.
So, Stephen, would you agree with that? Has some merit, but maybe isn't a winning tune?
Not even close to winning. I don't think top 10 either. I think, like Frank pointed out, a few more up-tempo female songs. And even in that bracket, it's down the end of them. Like it starts out well and it sounds radio friendly, and you think that's a good thing. But then it has to be really good and memorable if it's going to go down the route of chart hit. The chorus, the lyricless chorus is naff. If you ask me, I don't see how it can hit with jurors, and I don't think it's good enough to hit with telly voters. I think it'll finish somewhere between 18th and 25th.
Okay, not so positive from Stephen for the UK then. Right, let's get stuck into the outright market for the Eurovision Song Contest for 2023. Four places with Paddy Power. Sweden, the 1-2 favourites, with still one semi-final to go, as well as the final night. Finland at 13-5, Frank Hickey's favourite price. Ukraine, 17-2, 17-1, France. Israel, 18-1, alongside Spain and Norway, and it's 50-1 and bigger the rest. So we've got kind of a tight kind of top seven, as Stephen maybe alluded to at the top of the show. There are maybe seven songs that could win, and the betting would suggest that. But is there an edge in there somewhere, or is it as simple as kind of sticking to the top of the market? I am absolutely stunned, Frank Hickey, that Sweden are 1-2.
Like, I suppose after the first semi-final, she was very professional. I think what's interesting is, you know, you're listening to all the bloggers and people reporting from the rehearsals, and all they were talking about was Lauren's box that she was in. And yeah, I think it turned out really well in the semi-final. My only issue with it is there's no real like punchy pack. Like it's very good, but there's just something missing, I think. For it to be two Zan, I don't know. Like, I think it'll probably win the jury vote, but I'm not sure it'll do, you know, amazing with the telly vote. I think it'll do like top five, but yeah, I don't know. Like, I think Finland can still get this back with Sweden, yet I don't think it's a done deal as maybe the betting on the exchange anyway would suggest. I'd be interested to see what Stephen thinks. But
Stephen, what do you think? Sweden, are you kind of surprised she's as short as she is at 1-2?
No, not after last night. Winning Eurovision is basically a double numbers game, in that it's the sum of the jury vote plus the telly vote. Jury wise, she's going to get sevens and eights everywhere. Eight by just 37 countries, you know, that's going to get her plenty of points. And she's probably going to get fives and sixes from the telly vote. She's going to get up around the late 400s, and that's going to win Eurovision. That's going to be enough. That's the simple fact of it, I think, with her. Like, the performance, like Frank says, very professional, leaves you feeling a bit cold. I think the song is Euphoria 2.0. Listeners will know she won in 2012 at Euphoria, which was a much better song than this, but this song is good enough to do just that, because she's so well known, because it's so well performed. It's kind of ticking the boxes, and it's a by numbers winner. It's a pity, but I think that's what's going to happen, because for Finland to win, they needed to win the telly vote, which they're after getting screwed with the first half draw. Oftentimes it doesn't matter. Sweden are in the first half, it's not going to matter, right? They're going to be in probably box 11 or box 13. Either are Sweden and Finland, will be 10, 11 or 13. Normally it won't matter with a mid-tempo song like when Israel won or Portugal or the Netherlands. I think Finland needed to romp the telly vote and needed to be up around 22, 23 in the running order. They've gotten first half. Their telly vote is going to be impacted as a result, and their vocals weren't good enough last night for the juries to give them enough points to win. So I think Sweden will get over the line, sadly. It's a little dull in terms of the outright market and the angle. Then the beauty of Eurovision is you often get something hitting the podium each way at a huge price. I mean, we had Austria in 2018. I think it actually won the jury vote. It was 300-1 the morning of, and finished third or fourth. Russia in recent years has been 50-1 and placed. There's been other examples. There's been loads of examples of big price ones. I think it's kind of set up nicely for something outside of Sweden and Finland. I don't think any of the podium positions are set in stone. I mean, Ukraine, I don't think are going to get anywhere near the telly vote they got last year, and they'll get close to 40 or 50 jury points, so they'll probably finish 7th or 8th. France's vocals were absolutely dreadful in rehearsals. We'll talk about that more when Frank gets onto them. Israel, I don't think can get jury points either, so it's literally anything could come from anywhere to get a podium finish. So the two I'm interested in, I thought Czech Republic did really, really well last night in the first semi-final. I thought it was cohesive, brilliant stage show, great vocals. Eastern countries are going to lap it up. Jurors should lap it up. There should be loads of points there for them. Paddy Power 150-1 this morning, and that was just delicious each way, because you were getting effectively 18-1 for top four finish there on your each way portion of the bet. They're now 80-1. But look, that's still juicy enough for a good interest. Or you might have a look when the top four markets come out. You might get 10-1. That could be a way of playing it. But I think Czech Republic at 80s are very interesting. And the other one, I think Sweden are going to do really well in the jury vote. And then there's nothing else. What else is going to do great in the jury vote? Is it Cyprus? Is it Switzerland? Italy's performance in rehearsals were really, really good. This guy, his vocals are incredible. Italy always do well with the juries. Could easily see Italy doing very well with juries and garnering enough televote support because it's a good enough song. They're 50s, so I'd be interested in them as well. But more so Czech Republic, they'd be the angle I'd be taking. And yeah, I wouldn't discourage anyone from looking at anything at a big price to get into the four, as long as there's that realistic path between the jury and the televote. You need to bear that in mind.
Czech Republic, My Sister's Crown is the name of the song. Would I be right in saying four languages in there as well? English, yeah. Czech, Ukrainian, and Hungarian or Bulgarian, yeah, possibly,
and Russian. I think there's okay. Five languages.
So would that be a vote winner potentially? Like, is that kind of getting a lot of people on side around the voting block?
Yes, like Bulgaria aren't in it, Russia aren't in it, and what was the other language? Was it Hungarian? They're not in it. But like a lot of people around Eastern Europe speak all those languages.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really think it's going to be a televote magnet. And as well as that, like, it's the sisterhood message, the look of it. It's a real female empowerment song that translates all across Scandinavia, Western Europe as well. Like, my wife loved it now last night, and she really felt that kind of sisterhood message. I think it's a fabulous song as well. That helps. And very importantly, it's drawn second half. And the second half at the moment is complete dross. So they're going to have to build the second half at the moment around Czechia, as they prefer to be called now, and Norway. So I think it's going to be given a really good slot in the running order, which is a huge help to get points.
Okay, great insight there from Stephen on something to hit the frame. Frank Hickey, I know you're pretty sweet on one in the outright market, even regardless of what Stephen has reported as some dodgy rehearsal sessions.
Yeah, look, I think coming in, like, when I sat down and listened to all the songs, and I had France near the top of my list, and then I looked and they were like 40 and 50-1 everywhere. I was like, this just has to be wrong. The song is brilliant, but like, coming up to it, I was like, the only thing I was really worried about was the staging, and they seemed to get the staging right, because I thought, you know, she was really professional and she nailed the vocals. And then last night, her vocals, particularly at the end, were pretty horrific, which would be worrying. Now, if she did manage to pull it all together, like, the way I looked at it, she was absolutely nailed on to be in the top four, and there was a small chance she could actually win if she got the telly vote, because I thought she was going to maybe challenge Lorena for, you know, in the jury vote. But after that vocal last night, like, if she does that on Saturday, she's in big trouble. Now, if she does manage to pull it off and, you know, put together a flawless performance, I think she's nailed on to be placed.
Do you know, on that, Frank, though, the problem with her vocal having been like that last night, the jury's vote on Friday night.
I know, to see that, yeah.
But the juries have made up their mind before they vote. They've all watched that rehearsal. The juries are going in Friday night, but they're all watching the YouTube videos of the full rehearsals. And that's it. She panned it. Like, she lost it on Tuesday night. That's the problem. It's fine to rescue it with the televote on Saturday night, and that is possible on the televote. But she blew it with the juries, and she went down from 8-10 points with loads of those jurors. And there's only a couple of 100 of them in Europe, and they're all marking her down to threes and fours instead of eights and tens. I think she's blown it because of that.
Yeah, I think like had she put in a good performance last night, like she'd be a serious contender to win. Like, but yeah, it was like I was reading somewhere that she'd been struggling with her voice for over a month, and that she was kind of trying to save it. But I mean, yeah, it was just terrible. Like it was out of tune and everything. Yeah, it's disappointing because I think it's potentially one of the best. I think it's a better song than Lorena's song, but. Yeah, you have to be able to sing it too and sing it well. And she didn't do that. Yeah, I still think like looking at the top five, like I'm not a fan of the Spanish song at all. I know some people do like it, but I can't see. I don't know. You know better than me, Stephen. I can't see that resonating with the telly voters at all myself.
Yeah, I would have said the same about Ukraine and Jamalo and She Won. Those kind of wailing songs. I always struggle with. So I have a blind spot with it and I dislike it. But there's a lot of good judges that say it's going to do well with jurors and televoters. So I'm kind of sitting easy on it, but back in my own judgment that it's absolutely shite and hopefully won't be in the four. But I can't stand it, yeah.
Yeah, my notes here from the first time I listened were awful whining goes off 100 plus. It's just terrible, I thought. But look. Yeah, maybe some people know more than me.
I'm impressed you have your notebook to hand there. I don't know, we're not visible here, but the viewers or the listeners could see you grab the notebook. You must have a messy house now if that's lying around like that.
Almost
from 4 months
ago. That's my notebook. And the other thing as well, I think you have to factor in is Ukraine are third in the betting. And, you know, how much of like the sympathy vote are they going to get? I'm not sure they're going to get anywhere near. Like, I don't think the song is a top 10 song. And I'm not sure they'll get sort of sympathy vote. So they're taking up a fair bit of the margin, even for the each way side of it, that I don't think they're going to be in the four or five.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Opens it up for something. You know,
I agree, yeah. They need to get sevens on the televote on average to place. So you need about 240 points to get anywhere near the top four. And so they need sevens nearly on the televote because they're not going to get much jury, and I don't think they're going to get that. That Frank's right. That's why I'm kind of coming at the wild price angle. But then like listeners need to be careful with the wild price ones. Have a look at the top four markets and the top 10 markets because you're giving up your win bet portion. So, you know, there might be better angle in, but at the same time, it's good crack to back an 80-1 shot or 100-1 shot that you like.
We'll come to chat to those kind of top 10 and top 15 markets in a little while. But Frank, obviously, judging by the way you're talking, you're already invested in the French angle.
I've had a good bet 40s, 25, 22. And I'll be honest, yeah. On Monday, I said, oh, the each way part of the bet is in the bank. This is absolutely nail on to being the four. And I thought, she'll do a rehearsal, she'll nail it, and she'll be like, you know, 7-6, you know, in around 7 or 8-1 in exchange going into the final. And it's gone the opposite way. She's gone from like, she was like 17 in exchange out to like 40-something now.
What are your alternative plays in the outright market at the moment? Have you got any others that you think could sneak into the frame? And are you with Stephen? Do you think kind of Sweden winning is a foregone conclusion?
I'd agree with him that Finland, just the end of the vocal was a little bit off as well. But he's all energy and it's the crowd love it. And I think the telly vote would be brilliant. But as Stephen said, the positioning for him, it probably isn't ideal. I didn't even realise that his position had been drawn already. So that is a blow to him. Like, look, everything's in place for Lorena to win, really. But I'll be like Stephen, I'd be disappointed because I actually don't think it's that brilliant a song. Like, it's just grand.
And no. Finland is brilliant. Finland is magic, you know. It's something different, something you haven't seen before. It's so uplifting. What a stage show. Like, maybe the best stage show we've seen since Australia with Kate Miller-Heidke, whatever year that was, 2018.
That shadow in the back as well.
It's brilliant. And it's not a foregone conclusion, Tom. I just think 1-2 is the fair price because what needs to happen is he needs to sort out that vocal. He will be high enough in jury's minds that if he can fix that vocal and get it right in the jury show on Friday night, geez, there is a path to victory for him. but we haven't seen enough to suggest he's going to do that. That's the problem. I think if he drifts to kind of, you might get 4-1 or something outright, then you could have a cut off him, because he is going to be in the four. The televote's going to ensure that. I just worry about that running order for him. I just think it spoils it. If he was drawn second half, we could be having a different conversation here.
What do you think Stephen's going to be the end? Like, so obviously in the first half isn't a massive negative for certain types of songs, but also like what part of the first half's, like if you're kind of 11 to 14, it's not terrible. Like with like France, Finland, Sweden, who else is in the first half? That's,
oh, they're all in the first half. Like, so, like Italy, everyone's drawn in the first half.
Someone like that, what way are they going
to run the running order?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, like I think Portugal have been drawn in the first half, so they'll open the show almost certainly. I would think if you can find a market on who'll open the show and you're getting 2-1 Portugal, I'd be snapping up that. And then what they'll probably do is that they'll keep Sweden and Finland three apart, and they'll try and build it that there'll be a break after, before and after them maybe. So I guess. The producers often love the Swedes because the Swedes are a great delegation. So they often get slight favours. I'm guessing they'll put Finland in 10 or 11 and Sweden in 13. That's what I'm guessing. If they put Finland in 13 and Sweden in 10, it gives Finland a slight more chance. But we're kind of splitting hairs. I think for Finland to have really swept the televote, it needs to be party, party, fun towards up 20, 22, 23. I just think it'll take the 30 or 40 points off it. That it needed to close the gap on Sweden. I just think Sweden's going to get 480 points and Finland's going to get about 420. That's the problem. For that gap to close, I'm not sure what's going to happen to do it. But I hope it does, because Finland would be a much more deserving, different and worthy winner. But we often say this.
And do you know what I mean? I think France kind of messing up a bit has helped Sweden in that. I think France would have taken a good bit of the vote off Sweden in the jury vote. You know, it would have been competing for those 10s and 12s, and maybe they mightn't be now, like, which, yeah, it's another thing that, you know,
yeah, increased Sweden has now gone from 8s and 10s in the jury to 10s and 12s.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. I mean, there'll be plenty of jury points around for Switzerland. I think Cyprus, it would be an All Ireland prize, you know, it'd be 1,000-1, but you might get 300 or 400 to 1 in the exchange, or 200 to 1. To win the jury vote. I actually think they could finish second or third in the jury, but Sweden, it's a lot of it's a PR thing and a momentum thing, and the jurors like to be right. You know, they like to say, oh yes, that's the one that I put up at the top, but they're following the bet markets, they're following the rehearsals, they're following whatever's happening. So it is a momentum thing. It isn't just they show up and give the points to the ones they see on the night. They know going in they're going giving Sweden 7s and 8s and 10s.
Just for people who wouldn't know, like, so there will be a rehearsal on the Friday night that basically the jurors will watch, that they're supposed to be kind of taken as.
Oh no, that is the jurors' votes are cast after the Friday night jury show. So 50% of the result is known. Incredibly though, the EBU, the European Broadcasting Union, it's amazing how tight they keep it. Like that time when Austria with Cesar Sampson finished second or third or whatever, they won the jury vote. Their price didn't move. They're still 300-1 in the morning of having won the jury vote the night before. That's how tight they keep it. It astounds me every single year. I mean, and people get it wrong as well. Like, do you remember Ireland with Ryan O'Shaughnessy?
Yeah.
Was like 16-1 after the semi final. Sure, they'd finished 8th. They finished like 20th in the jury vote. And all the speculation's often wrong. It's unbelievable. Like, I mean, these lads should be running the integrity department in HRI. Like that it's incredible the way they keep it so tight.
Great stuff. Right. Okay. Well, there have been brief references to jury votes and televotes, and there are markets on each of those. The jury vote favorite is, as you were kind of referencing there, Sweden is the 1-3 favorite in the jury vote market. The televote favorite is Finland at 4-9. Any juice in either of those markets, or do you kind of let that play out as and when? Stephen, do you focus on either of those markets at this stage?
Well, Paddy Power don't have, but you might see, you know, each way angle in. I think there is a world where Sweden don't possibly win the jury vote. Like, her vocals are grand, they're really good, but it's not that exciting a song. And jurors might just go for, like I keep referencing that Austria jury vote win. The ones that could do it are Italy 14-1, Switzerland 33s, and Cyprus 200s. So they're the ones I think that possibly could. So you could have a little nibble on Cyprus there, 200-1 for, you know, five or to win €1,000 for the crack. But in all probability, Sweden will win that. I'd be a little more skeptical on Finland winning the telly vote just because of the draw. But at the same time, I don't see what else can win it in a way, you know, if it's not Sweden. Sweden are fives in that market, but no, you'd think Finland would win the telly, but so, yeah, I don't really have an angle in.
Okay, Frank, anything for you in those markets?
Don't hear what I say. It's like, obviously, Paddy Power aren't offering each way on the jury, but I kind of agree with Switzerland. I dismissed it completely, and he was a brilliant performance in the first semi-final, to be fair, and it is the kind of song you could see juries latching onto, so yeah, if you could get each way, you know, if there's each way betting available somewhere, they wouldn't be the worst.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, let's move on and take a quick look at the top five and top 10 markets. There is a top three market as well, but I suppose you're looking at some of your each way bets to fill those places anyway. But top five, Sweden 1-25, Finland 1-7, Norway 8-11, France 4-5, Ukraine is even money alongside Israel, Spain 5-4, Italy 15-8, 5-1, Armenia alongside Czechia, and 11-2, and bigger the rest. Top 10 then, Sweden 1-100, Finland 1-40, Norway 1-6, Israel 1-5 alongside France. Ukraine, for some reason, is displaying it the wrong order, but it's 1-4. Spain is also shorter, 1-3, Italy 4-9, Armenia is 5-6, Czechia is 10-11. Austria is even money. Switzerland is 9-4. United Kingdom 5-2. 11-4. Germany. Australia 7-2 alongside Moldova. And it's 4-1 and bigger the rest. Right. Frank, you can kick us off here. Top five, top 10. Anything here sticking out as a bet?
I think top 10. I'd just be interested. I didn't get the running order for the final, but do you know, Stephen, where Moldova are? Place.
Well, no, you're only drawn first or second half.
And no, that's what I mean. Are they second half?
They're second half.
So, like, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they're, like, they have a right dancey sort of number. If they're, you know, the second half's looking like it's going to be so weak that they could be near the end of the running order, where they'll get an awful lot of, I think they'll do very well with the juries. It reminds me of Ukraine a couple of years ago. What was it? Shubagum or something?
Shum Goa.
Where they didn't do great with the juries, but they did mighty all together with the telly vote. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Moldova do very well. Again, just listening to the reaction in the audience, it seems to do very well with them. And top 10, 7-2 Moldova. I don't think that's the worst bet in the world now at all. As I said, France are 4-5, top five. Like, if you thought she could, you know, put in a decent performance, that'd be buying money. But I don't know, could you trust her after the rehearsal the other night? You probably can't. But I think Moldova 7-2, top 10 isn't a bad bet at all.
Your confidence is rocked in France. It's just
but you're like, you don't know. Like, as in, if she couldn't pull it together the other night, like, why is she going to pull it together Friday night and Saturday night?
Like,
she
it's a bit like backing a horse in the Arkle, three fences in, and after clattering two of the first three fences, like, you know, you're almost in running now already.
Yeah. Like, you know, even if you're doing it in running, like, if she sings and she hits every note, and, like, you can get, you know, in around even money top five, you're absolutely picking off the floor. Like, she'll definitely be top five then. But you'd want to nearly hear her sing before you'd back it. But Moldova, it's just very catchy, and it's very sort of a good beat with that sort of different, I don't know what you say, Stephen. It's sort of like that.
That's kind of trans ethno folk or something. You call it. He was in the Eurovision before Frankie, which was, in 2012 when Loren won. Different type of song then. It is good. I'd say it's okay with the Eastern televotes.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I could see with it, like, as in just doing well in the televote and maybe nicking a top 10 out of it then. So 7-2, I thought was fair enough. Switzerland would be the other one I'd be interested in. Maybe top 10, because I think it will do very well with the juries, not so well with the televote, but it might just get enough to get it over the line top 10. As I said, it was one I completely dismissed and was taken aback by how good he was in the first semi-final. So that'll be the other one that would catch my eye.
Stephen, for you in those markets, top 5, top 10, anything sticking out?
Top 5, no. I think there's better angles into the ones I like. Top 10, I really, really like Checha. They're around even money. 10 to 11 here, I'm seeing with Paddy Power. I think that's absolutely fine. I really think they're going to do well with the second half. And just everything is perfect about the song. Really reminds me of Serbia last year.
Oh, yeah.
In Coprasana, which finished 5th in the end, you know, and you could have had long odds against in that top 10. Checha were 11-4 for a top 10 a few days ago, but just momentum is there. They've just nailed it. I think top 10 even money, if I was to have one bet, that would be it from here on in. And the other one I like, I've mentioned Cyprus, haven't seen the vocal yet because it's performing in Thursday night semi-final. That song is just made for jury votes. If he does well on it, they're about even money for a top 15 finish, so keep an eye out for that market. And maybe they're 17-20, something like that. So Cyprus top 15, they're going to get plenty of points from Greece and from Moldova in the televote, and then I think it's just jury vote catnip if he nails the vocals. So I will be interested in that, but I'll wait and see. But of those markets, Checha, Ape Money top 10 would be close on my nap now of the whole thing.
Lovely stuff. Right, okay, we're coming into the home straight, as it were. Anything else standing out? Top regionals, obviously we've got top Balkan, top Baltic, top Big Five. Anything there, Stephen, that would stick out to you? Top Nordic as well?
Yeah, well, the top Nordic, you know, it's Sweden versus Finland, so we can just go, you can repeat everything we said about the outright market there. Top Baltic, trying to remember my Baltics from my Balkans, but the Baltic, I think, is Greece and all them ones.
No, Baltic is Lithuania, 4-9, Estonia, 7-5.
Yes, who gets through, Estonia or Lithuania? Yeah, I actually think Lithuania have a chance, but you can back the angle into that market. I do think there's a bet. I think Lithuania have a chance of not qualifying, but sure, this will be out. If anyone listens to Thursday, I think 7-2 Lithuania not to qualify is maybe worth a little tickle. So you could have Estonia there to cover it if the two get through. Not a huge angle in. And Balkan, remind me now. So Balkan is Slovenia Serbia. Money,
Serbia 5-2, Croatia is also 5-2, 20-1 Albania alongside Greece, and 66-1.
That's Serbia.
Romania.
Yeah, Serbia is great, and he's drawn first half, so I think he's going to be swallowed up. So I don't think he'll be winning in that market. Probably if I was to have a bet, I'd probably back Croatia at 5-2 because I know they're going to get loads of televotes. The Slovenia song is brilliant, one of the best songs in it, but hard to see where the votes come from. You know, it's kind of a middle of the road indie pop song. Mm. The lads have loads of charisma, brilliant styling. Like, I wish I had the balls to wear the clothes they wear. You know, it's just fantastic. But I'm not sure the votes will come. If you force me to have Greece, no chance. Albania, Romania, no chance. So in a match between Slovenia and Croatia, I'd probably back Croatia there 5-2, but not too dogmatic. And I do think there is a bet. I think in the Big Five, I think that it's down now between Spain, Italy and France. And I think Italy have such a head start now on the jury vote with the vocal, and they're all jury vote songs. I think 3-1. Italy is a good bet in the Big Five.
Okay, lovely stuff. Frank, anything in those markets sticking out to you, or are you happy enough?
And yeah, no. Oh, I'll let it go.
Okay, you let it slide. Okay, right. We are going to recap on best bets for the Eurovision Song Contest final. But before we do, we are obviously recording on Wednesday evening, and we still have a semi-final to go. And Frank, you are keen to have a quick word on semi-final 2 I don't know if you want to chat through the winner or to qualify or to not qualify, but take it away.
Yeah, look, I would be interested to get Stephen's thoughts on it. Look, it's a very weak, semi-final relative to the first one. Like, I wouldn't even be sure anything from the second semi-final is going to finish in the top 10 in the final. It's that weak. Austria are favourites. Good song, catchy. I just didn't think it was nailed on to win either. With a jury vote, I thought it was worth maybe taking a chance in Armenia. At 11-2, I thought there was an awful lot to like about that. At 11-2, I thought she, like, Australia are second favourites there, and they're like heavy metal, almost like death metal, screaming in it. I'm not sure that will do that well with the televote either. So I thought Armenia, like, I wouldn't be overly confident, maybe Austria will win, but I thought Armenia would give them a good run for their money. And in the to qualify, Estonia 4-5. Alika sings a song called Bridges, very simple song, heard a piano, bit of strings. Her voice is excellent. Said it's a weak semi-final. She's said only touching even money to qualify. There's not that many of that type of song either in the semi-finals. I thought that she might be able to get through. And yeah, I liked Estonia to qualify in Armenia as well, but to win semi-final. But I'd be interested to hear what Stephen says as well.
Stephen, go on. Talk us through semi-final two.
Yeah, I don't mind that Estonia bet to qualify, because the semi-finals are actually 100% televote. This definitely isn't a televote song, but then you would say the same about Switzerland last night, and quality kind of does come through, and there isn't much quality in the semi-final, like Frank says. Armenia, in terms of Armenia winning it, they're in box two tomorrow night in a televote semi-final. It's very hard win from there. It's a really nice song, but I just don't think you can get enough televotes from stall two to win it. So that's probably why Armenia can't win it. I think Austria is the best song in the semi-final by a distance. The staging isn't that good, but the song normally rises to the top. And I think if I was, you know, if I had to have a bet, I'd be back in Austria at 6-4. You can back them at even money, 11-10. Top 10 finish, and they're 6-4 to win a semi-final, which tells you a lot. But it is a really good song. It is really catchy. I hope they perform well, but I haven't seen it, so I wouldn't be too dogmatic about any of it. I have backed Lithuania not to qualify, but I have a terrible, terrible record. I'm as bad now at judging these as I am back in photo finishes and horse racing. I just can't do it. So I backed Lithuania not to qualify at 7-2, so I'd probably steer clear of that one. I totally agree with Frank, that Australia that's the show closer. A really dreadful song, like Depeche Mode meets Metallica or something. It couldn't be worse. And it's second favorite. So there's the market is being made, whatever you want to back, but it's so bad. I mean, like, it's
Depeche Mode meets Metallica with a bout of laryngitis. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, it's really poor. Like, they don't look great either. I don't like it. Yeah, no, this is one of the worst semi-finals I can ever remember having. Probably Tuesday night being the best one I can ever remember. But look, you would think that would mean there's loads of betting opportunities, but I'm struggling to pick them out.
Yeah, it's like, the way I look at it is, Latvia didn't qualify on Tuesday night, and I reckon they'd be close enough to favourites to win the second semi-final. There, you know what I mean? They'd probably be second or third favourites.
I think whoever finished 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th on Tuesday night would be in the top two in the betting anyway. This will be final for sure. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Very good. Right, let's recap on bets for Eurovision Song Contest final night. What is your card for the evening, Frank Hickey? Your bets for the final?
Look, I'm going to hope that Lazara can pull it all together. Look, when I agreed to do this, I was very confident. Like, look, I'm just going to go on and big up France, because, you know, everything is positive about it, and that's just really knocked my confidence in her. I still think she can pull it together, and as I said, top five, 4-5. I think as long as she does anyway decent, I think she'll be able to hit the top five at 4-5. That'll probably be my best bet. And I think Moldova top 10, 7-2. I think they're going to do well enough in the televote to sneak into the top 10.
Okay, lovely. Stephen Cass, your card for the final?
If I was to put up three bets, my best bet is Checha top 10. But that's around even money, so that's not crack. So I'm going to say my best bet is Checha each way in the outright market, because fellas love to have an all 80 to 1 bet. So that's what we'll say my best bet is. And I think Italy top big five at whatever it is, 11 to 4, 3 to 1, something like that. That's a good bet as well.
Great stuff. 80 to 1 juice from Stephen Cass. Yeah. So concludes our look ahead to the Eurovision Song Contest final. Really enjoyed that, lads. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. What are you doing? Where are you going to watch it Saturday night, Tom? Big party of yours?
Yeah, big party. Mine might get the barbecue going, get into a few cans and just see where the night takes us with Marty Whelan kind of still giving out.
I'll give you one tip now. Switch over to BBC. Ryland is just fantastic as well. He'll be doing the commentary. Well, Graham is actually hosting on the stage on Saturday night. Yeah, Ryland is your man. It's an absolute, it's an absolute sin that Ryland isn't up there hosting the whole thing, if you ask me. But he's a hero. So switch over to BBC. Forget about Marty.
Okay.
Oh, he's still giving out a wild use. How did they not get through?
Stephen. More importantly, as a man who's been drafted in specifically for Eurovision content, how do you celebrate the night? Is there kind of a big fireworks display outside your house and streamers?
I have the house decorated. I would be there only for just kind of busy with work at the moment, so I just had to park it. Like, I cancelled my accommodation last week. My kids are so obsessed with it. I couldn't do anything but watch it with them. But luckily enough, we have a kind of a cloned family who the two parents are obsessed with it as well, and the two kids. We're all best friends. The kids are best friends. We're best friends with them. And the kids are the same age and everything. So they're coming for a sleepover. And no one else is allowed in. You have to be completely Eurovision obsessive to get in, but the eight of us are. And we'll stay up and watch it. So we'll stay up late for the kids, stay up late for me. But,
would you be a regular attendee in other years?
I've never gone. I got the press pass 1 year to go to Rotterdam. That was the year I was cancelled for COVID. That's the year I was going. Oh. And then I set up a new shop and stuff and didn't really get the chance. And I was going to go and never went going anyway. But I will go again. I didn't really want to go this year because, like, Liverpool's only over the road. Like, you'd rather be going to Budapest or something different. So I was going to Rotterdam. That was the one that got away. But I will go at some stage.
Like, the one thing to say is a lot of people would turn up their nose at it, but you have to say, just from looking at it from the outside in, it just looks like an unbelievably positive, like, sort of party mode for 4 or 5 days, isn't it? Like, everyone's just...
Yeah. No, yeah, everyone that goes, I have friends that go for the week and they just, like, they live for it, and you get the WhatsApps off them. It just looks amazing. I'd love to be there for the week. Yeah, well, it is class. What are you going to do, Frank?
1 year.
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Probably just watch at home, my Todd. My missus is no interest, so.
Oh, no. Down to Dungarvan, Frank. You're allowed in. We'll unlock the door.
I'm working Sunday morning. That's the problem. At 8 o'clock, so.
Oh, take out the violin. Take out the violin. Right, lads. Thank you very much indeed for your time. Thanks to Frank Hickey and Stephen Cass for joining us. And thanks to you for listening. My name is Tom Nugent. And that was a very special edition, a Eurovision tipping bonanza straight from the horse's mouth.